Mobile listening is both a challenge and an opportunity, and certainly one of the most important trends in audio. We've discussed it a lot today. Here to lead a discussion on the deepening topic of mobile listening, please welcome from Portugal radio scientist Paula Cordeiro and her panel. Come on up.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this session about one of the most relevant current concerns: what happens when the listener turns out to be mobile. Is radio broadcasting mobile enough, so to say? To introduce this session, I decided to gather some ideas, some conceptions, and also some misconceptions about radio broadcasting and the mobile environment. So let's start, see if I don't get this wrong. Yeah, that's not working. Yeah, it's working. Okay, so let's start with the first quote I decided to bring you. Directly from Twitter, let me remind you about radio's ubiquity and worldwide presence. Radio is everywhere, and almost any of us can own a radio device. Nevertheless, the times, they are a-changing, and changing exactly in terms of listening, meaning what we do and listen to, since we still do care. We search and listen to relevant content, but in terms of the platform and the device we use to do it. So this one is most probably my favorite quote so far. Those who know me know that instead of radio scientist, Kurt should have identified me as radio passionate or even professional radio listener, since I make my living out of listening to radio. But hey, as you can see, although we have been watching to a slight decline in radio listening, radio is still steady when compared to podcast listening or MP3 usage. So radio isn't dead, nor will be in the future to come, but we just can't say the same about analog listening devices, can we? Let me translate this one for you. For very long, we have been saying that you doesn't like to listen to radio. This Spanish radio professional, like I do, just wonders why haven't we yet started to produce a more youthful kind of radio. And music. Music is everywhere. Songs on Facebook. What's next to come? Digital is apparently eating all radio listening. But as far as I know, analog, even if declining, still has a major share of ear, which leads me to my assumption, which is also my biggest doubt. We have to be digital, and most of all, we have to be mobile. But how and where? What I mean is everywhere. So let me introduce you to our awesome panel. Michael Hill, Managing Director, Radio Player UK. Hello, Michael. Ruth Fitzsimmons, Global Head of News and Content from Audioboom. Olga Weiss, Managing Director, Alpio. There you are. Shankar Memba, Founder and CEO of ExitJet. So let me drive the first big question of this afternoon. What are we talking about when we talk about radio? Are smartphones the next audio device? Will they replace the auto radio as we know it? We don't have accurate data on this. Streaming is eating radio in the car or not. Connection of smartphones in car is growing, but radio is still rock solid. Let me address you, Michael, for this. We have already discussed this idea. So what could you tell the audience, please?
About cars?
About cars, about radio in cars, and about the concept of radio itself.
Yeah, okay. So when we're talking about radio, I'm going to talk about what I call proper radio, which is radio with a connection on a human level, yes, radio with curation, sorry, there's the C word again, and craft, something that Apple understood when they poached Zane Lowe from Radio 1. He is a supreme craftsman at radio, and that really counts for how good proper radio sounds to people. And that makes radio sound great in the car. There's a lot of really complex things happening, though, in the car at the moment. Massive increase in connectivity, so people are either just plugging in their phones with a headphone cable or tethered through Bluetooth. Lots more content choices in the dashboard. Spotify integration starting to arrive. DAB radio starting to come on top of FM. And third-party platforms encroaching like Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. So, you know, what do we do about it as a radio industry? We get together, we collaborate, we stay true to our content model because it's brilliant for driving. Proper radio fits well with driving, and drivers love us. We work with the car companies to keep ourselves prominent in the dashboard and ensure we integrate with those third-party platforms like Apple CarPlay. Radio Player has done that in the UK. Lots of people are using it now.
Let me ask Ruth about the Audioboom. How do you place yourselves in this kind of environment?
So Audioboom is audio platform that basically allows you to distribute your audio and monetize it in various spaces. So we distribute easily using our web embed players back into your own site or into third-party sites, and then also into other platforms like iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play, and also social media, so Twitter and Facebook. And you can monetize across all of those using video ads or audio and companion banner ads. Yeah. But what's really interesting, really, I kind of think, and it's something that's come out again and again today, is this idea of distribution and this idea of being in front of your listener. So I think probably the main difference between kind of maybe now and even 5 years ago is, you know, people have been accustomed to, you go into your house, you switch on your radio, you're in your kitchen, you get into your car, you switch on. We can't assume that that's a kind of technique that people are always going to take care of. People are looking for audio in different spaces now. I think what we've seen today repeatedly is that people want to listen while they're doing other activities. And the smartphone has allowed them to do that. That's the big benefit. But that's an absolutely amazing opportunity for us as people who work in radio. It's incredible. You know, everyone in this room anyone who works in radio creates great content. The kind of content we've been talking about today that makes you go, I don't want to get out of the car. I don't want to stop. I want to hear the end of this piece because it's just so incredible. But what we can do today, using the technology and the various players like Audioboom, is we can share that with people. So it's no longer, did you hear that? You probably didn't hear it. You didn't hear it on the radio because you weren't listening to the same station as I am. And we've seen a real pickup in that. The technology has allowed the content to grow and to share in spaces you wouldn't have thought possible beforehand. So a good example is there's a station here in the UK called LBC. It's a talk radio station, and there's a presenter called James O'Brien. He took on a caller and challenged them when the caller was saying, all Muslims are responsible for the Charlie Hebdo event. And he said, how can you say that? He started to challenge them and challenge them very vigorously. And that clip really quickly got 750,000 listens. So it went viral. And how did it do that? Well, it was shared by LBC using a good practice, shared to their own website, shared on Twitter and Facebook, but also into spaces that we don't think about for radio, non-linear spaces, so into newspapers, so into The Guardian, The Huffington Post. So these are spaces where your audiences live. There's already conversations going on about radio in those spaces. You often see articles that reference conversations that happened on air, but people haven't been able to hear it. And it's a real treat to hear when a politician is flaky on something, when they're not really able to hold their ground, when they're really challenged. That's when the audio, like we heard earlier, you can hear the emotion, you can see the honesty in it.
Yeah, but that was also a very controversial issue, so it helped on growing the viralization of
exactly.
It. Yeah. And about growing, there's also a need to grow the revenue, isn't it, Shankar? You're quite an expert on that.
Thank you. Yep. That's right. Thanks, Paula. And so Exeget was all about how to actually monetize this growing audience from the mobile. As you possibly know, mobile advertising expected to grow threefold over the next 3 years. So that's the biggest growth. How can actually radio tap into it? So that's what our active radio solutions do. Different things, of course, digital audio that you've heard about, in-stream advertising, that's something that we do pretty well. But we also brought up other solutions. Today at 7:30 p.m., I'm going to be at the Scala, where one of our radio partners have actually sold tickets for the concert that's happening there via their mobile app. So it was the concert was promoted on the radio. People were driven into the into the app to actually make the purchase, and I'm going to watch people show up the app to gain entry into the Scala this evening. So there are very many ways of actually doing that monetization across the devices.
Yeah, radio has also, radio broadcasting and has been quite in-car centric, but in-car audio consumption, as we've seen today, is changing very fast to streamed audio consumption. I have the sort of a $1 million question for you guys. What's the right move and what's the perfect strategy, let's say, for next year? Holger, would you start now?
To answer the $1 million question.
Yes, good. Please.
Before I answer the $1 million question, one comment about the general topic of this this panel, which is a great one, and so far it was a great day with fantastic input and content. I would ask you, wasn't radio always mobile? So isn't it more a technical term that we're discussing here? I mean, even back in the 80s when I grew up, we were listening to radio in the park because you had radios in very small devices that you could run by batteries, which were not very much bigger than a smartphone today, right? And that made radio so appealing that it's a kind of a passive but mobile use case. So, and that is something, coming back to the $1 million question, what a lot of people also for the past 60, 70 years enjoyed in cars, right? I mean, the average American spends, I think, 2.5 hours per day in the car, and in Europe it's a bit less, but there's a lot of people are spending time in the car, and there's a whole generation Y, who's only listening, if they're listening to proper radio, as you call it, they're only listening in cars, right? I mean, but usually the most attractive advertising target group cannot afford to buy cars. So whatsoever, it's a technical term, and if we talk about the $1 million question, it's something that where we should look much more to the consumer, because there is no doubt that FM and AM radio will survive for a while. The towers are there, it's highly profitable if you do it right, etc., right? It will not die. DAB in Britain, great success. In Germany, a flop. And I predict it will not come. So that's something, it's simply too expensive. But what is there is that consumers getting used to getting control of the content, and therefore it's not a discussion about proper radio or streaming radio, etc. That's what you said, Ruth. It's really about quality content. But I want to decide on my own what I want to listen to. And it's simply that why I have to listen to traffic news at 10 minutes after the hour, if that's the moment when I'm standing with my coffee mug somewhere in the kitchen and not sitting in the car. Or I'm just between the kitchen and the car, why is traffic news not coming on the radio, audio based, when I'm starting my trip or right before? And the same is true. I mean, I know it's very rare, I'm German, but I'm not interested in football at all, soccer.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but that's why I have to listen to the soccer results in the morning if I'm not interested in. So, fundamentally, I think what we have to see and what we will see is that not only the cars, but especially the cars when we go into autonomous driving, and Alpeo is the leading streaming platform in cars, in over 3 million cars these days, is that we will have a much higher level of personalization and individualization, how I'm listening, when I'm listening, and what I'm listening. And that could be an artificial type of non-proper whatever charts channel, but it also could be high-quality type of editorial content that's coming from proper traditional radio. So with that respect, I think it's a question the consumer will decide, and if the car industry will not follow that, then the consumer also will decide which cars they will buy in future.
Anyone, any other brave panelists for the $1 million question? Actually, I think that Holger has a point here, that the question is not exactly the platform itself. It will be more around the strategy and the content. What do you think about it?
Yeah, so mobile means different things to each of us, by the sound of it.
And allows different things to
it, yeah, and really what it is, because it's a very powerful mini computer in your pocket.
Yep.
And that's the point. It's not that just that you can walk through the park with it, or even that you can plug it into a car. It's that, for instance, with Radio Player app, we use a lot of the qualities of the computer to give us really good recommendations of radio. We can see, for example, what music the user likes, where they are in the world. Those are really obvious things.
But yeah, it's obviously the individualization of society and also of the listener. Yeah.
I think there's kind of probably two main challenges in this kind of area. One is, you know, it actually leads us back to the panel earlier, which is kind of about how we monetize this area. Because, you know, radio stations have always been very good at curating their audio. You know, those basic skills are completely there. That skill set of, you know, picking a great piece of audio, titling it well, images, we know there's a 40% pickup if a good image is attached. Making sure that it's embedded in the right platform, it's the right length for the correct platform. So making sure that you understand who the end user is in what platform and targeting it towards all those. But in terms, so in terms of all of those things, people can put out great audio that really speaks to their users. They know their users the best. But how do we scale it up? How do we make it profitable? And how do we measure that and make that something that media buyers want to buy, which is the kind of one of the big conversations today. And I kind of think one of those things is that the radio stations themselves need to really adopt digital, the kind of the digital aspect of their production. So, you know, we're trained as radio producers to kind of go in and get the very best on air. But we also need to think about how can we translate that to online as well. So, you know, it's very interesting to think of some of the learnings that have been happening in TV. So the Jimmy Fallon show in the States, that gets about 3.8 million listens a night, and it gets about 3.8 million listens a week and about 1 million views online. And they're creating some of their segments with the online part in mind as well, because they kind of know that that's actually something that could go viral, like the innuendo bingo we were talking about earlier for BBC Radio 1. So it's thinking in that way. But then also when we put it online, how do we measure that? How can we go back and actually sell that to buyers? You know, in Audio Boom, one of the things that I think all of our platforms and all the platforms that are moving forward are increasingly having to do is share the analytics back with the radio stations. In terms of Audio Boom, we're now actually going to work with Comscore and Nielsen in the United States to do some measuring of the listening data that will feed back into their overall listening figures. So then suddenly that's a very different conversation, right? Suddenly the online space is actually not just profitable, but part and parcel of their listening figures. So it becomes important, and it's also about reattributing that importance of online. It's not just something you do at the end of a program, you know, as an afterthought. It's actually a really important part of making a program. It feeds into the program, like we've seen again and again today from some of the great examples from Germany. It generates content as well, but also financially it works.
Yeah, and we're back to monetizing, Shankar.
Yeah, so, I mean, again, looking at it to say, focus on, from a technology point of view, pretty much anything that you dream of today can be done, really. And I think it's really a question about saying, what's the trend? If you ask about the million-dollar question, the question is, what do we think the listeners are going to be doing next year or the year after next? Are they going to be listening to it on their smartphone, on their connected car devices, on their DAB? And Holger's point was very valid. How much personalization? That's just become natural for me to now expect when I go to a browser website to get something that's personalized to me. If I want to make a purchase, it has to happen on my mobile. So all of that has become quite natural. And that's a trend that's not going to break. That's still not caught up yet. And it doesn't mean you have to exclude the others, but I would say if it was just looking at the next year, you're possibly really looking at mobile as one of the places to put the focus.
So the future will absolutely be non-linear. Is that what you're talking about? What's next? So what's the place for radio broadcasters in this context? How do we integrate social networking sites in this environment, and how do we make money out of it? I think that will be the next big question.
That's right. And we are talking, for example, to a DAB manufacturer to put our technology into the DAB, which will give some opportunity. So there are very many different ways of actually doing that monetization, for sure. But it is about integrating
Socialists, you bring a very good point. You can't do without social, because that's the trend in which people are engaging today.
I would take issue with your assertion that the future is all about on demand. And, you know, we do suffer, I think, in conferences like this, slightly suffer from what they call confirmation bias, because we all podcast and download and personalize and build our own playlists, and we're all perfectly cool with that. But actually, most people aren't. And radio remains a predominantly linear medium for the mass market.
Yeah, I was going to ask about audience expectations. We have seen so many data on trends and behaviors, and actually most people still rely on radio and radio brands. Could you go on with this? Keep on?
Yeah, so I mean, we have to make the live linear listen, even though it's really dull to technologists and engineers and futurologists. We have to make the live linear listen for radio really, really simple on mobile. Simple as that.
Olga.
I mean, I would agree with that. On the other side, I also would say it's fine for now, right? But if you want to be prepared for the future, you better start to reconsider those models, right? And if there is a generation or generations at the moment used to linear radio as it is today, kids 20 years younger than I am don't connect anything with a sentence, oh, it's 8 o'clock, let's watch the news. Right. I mean, that's something that makes absolutely no sense to them. And I would expect we will see a similar evolution in radio. But other than that, I mean, I think the discussion is a little bit aside what really is the point, because we want to talk about how to monetize. And that's something where we are at the moment, let's say, somewhere in between a situation that is ironic. Because for 80 years, radio was massively paid by advertisement, or is still paid by advertisement, highly profitable, without having any proof of the target group or the size of listeners, right? I mean, we all know this. If the media research is starting again, then you see cities full of advertisement, etc., because they're asking people on the streets, which is your favorite radio station, to recognize that name. Now we are in IP streaming, and we could say every single user, when he's listening, where he's listening, how old he is in a certain context, etc. Now the advertising industry comes and say, okay, but there is no click button because you are online, and online advertisement has to have a somehow go to action button. And that's ironic, because it's not about the budgets that are not there. And the first, I think it was the first presentation this morning, or maybe the second, that was, everyone was so excited, right? There are more budgets to come, and everything is fantastic, etc. But still, we're sitting here, especially on Rain Summit, because I mean, that feels pretty much like a family here. I mean, there are not too many people outside of this room here you could talk about this to. But now we're sitting here for six years and say, okay, when it's starting to happen, right? And that's, I think that is the point where we have to evangelize the buyers and the industry, etc., in terms of tools and currencies, etc. We all see this is going to happen, but it's happening very slowly. So I'm not overly excited at the moment about monetizing mobile in radio.
It's happening, sorry.
I think this is kind of also where the right, you know, in part, radio stations need to kind of buy in and have a little bit of faith on it as well. Because if you only kind of, you know, put online every, you know, one piece of audio from every 2 hours, then you're not going to see real growth. And there's not going to be the scale that you can run the advertising on. It's simply just not going to be there. If you're going to adopt it, you have to adopt it across, and the best practices for it across the range. You know, look at when we did do that with Twitter and Facebook, we did see an increase, you know, and that's about kind of, yes, mistakes are definitely going to be made, but there has to be a willingness to make those mistakes, quickly learn from them and then change them, rather than kind of half getting into it and then half not getting into it. You know, one thing I have noticed, which is very interesting, is we're opening an office in India at the moment, and I will say that because there's a bit of a digital leap, there's also a digital leap of faith. You know, you're getting a lot of people who just think to themselves, yeah, we'll give it a whirl, and if it doesn't work, we're dropping you, but we'll give it a whirl. We're not going to, you know, put it to panel and then take 3 months to decide, and then we'll just give it a whirl, and let's see where we go with it.
But radio has always had that pragmatism and inventiveness. And, you know, we've always been quick to invent things. And, you know, what's easier than grabbing a mic and doing an interview and making a great radio program? So I think, you know, in answer to your point, we will have to keep the old business models running for a long time. And layer on top of it experiments and initiatives and pragmatic stuff that we do, and that might make money around the edges, and eventually the ratio between the two will change.
Just to comment on that, which actually means
forget
that
the moderator,
a traditional radio station, right, has to cross-finance their digital experiments.
Yeah.
But if you're Pure Play or Audio Boom, etc., you don't have this chance because that's simply not existing. There is no traditional business.
Yeah, I have a question that relates content, technology, and monetization. How do you guys explain the huge success of cases like podcasters, vloggers, and bloggers popping up out of the industry, out of BBC, out of Bauer, and other huge companies, and achieving a great success and actually monetizing themselves?
I think it's that niche. But I think it's that niche and speaking to your audience and good content. Like, you know, we may not like some of that content, but it's good content for the people who are absorbing it. In the same way that, like, a panel you might not like,
We are usually relying on the brand's trustworthiness and brand's notoriety. But these people, well, they become brands, but when they start, no one knows them. How do we explain this?
Well, they wouldn't be able to do it if YouTube, for example, hadn't built a huge video platform. Because the reason why, you know, a million failed vloggers just fall into nowhere and one brilliant one starts making millions of pounds is because there can be a million and one vloggers on YouTube.
Yeah.
And without that, they were all just voices in the dark.
Yeah, we used to talk about viral marketing and you know, have this discussion with our marketing agencies at that time, saying, what can you create a viral video? That's literally impossible. It more or less happens depending upon what the consumers pick up rather than actually creating it. One of the things that radio, what do they have? They have 90% of adult population listening, something like 2 hours a day or more, actually 2.5 hours a day. There's not much more you can actually grow on that listening itself. And it's the same thing if you look at it from a monetization point of view. Ad spend as an overall is only so much that it can grow. Money doesn't, I mean, it has to come from somewhere else. The overall wealth is only limited. So it's really about facing the fact that, yes, there will be cannibalization. If you're going on demand, if that's what the listeners want, you have to go on demand and take the face that it will have a cannibalization effect on the live listening. That's not bad because, and again, as with the monetization perspective, if you want to take mobile, the radio advertising budgets, 6% of the global, pretty much has stayed steady out there. Where's the growth? You want to tap into something else, you have to find ways and means of moving your audience in order to be able to get into that growth area, into the mobile, before you can actually do that.
But one thing I would say is economically, it's actually, you know, kind of that cannibalization, that kind of dual purpose can actually be kind of quite useful in a sense. You know, if you look at the print model, you know, where you have online and print, you're getting two different forms of media and you're getting the ad sales on those, but from one piece of content. And so, you know, for radio, traditionally, once the program has gone out, that's it, the content was over. And now a lot of this content can stay evergreen. You know, it depends on the type of content, obviously, but, you know, we can see even on Audio Boom, you know, Undisclosed, for example, I think it's 20, 30 million listens now on Audio Boom. That's the second part of Serial, the follow-up to Serial. And a lot of that is people who are going back, who've actually only rediscovered, who've only started listening to Serial. But the ad servers that we use allow us to monetize that, so we can monetize it. You get today's ads when you're listening on iTunes, even though it's older content. So you're still getting to monetize that content. So, you know, it's about seeing the economics in it as well.
Anything else? Okay. So I wonder what's next in terms of the cars. Google and Apple have connected car systems, and also there are non-deletable apps for its operating system in terms of Apple. So finding and listening to audio on a smartphone, it's easier. It's getting easier by today. What's next? And we have already 3 minutes, so less than 1 minute for each.
Okay, let me be fast. So, I mean, being into that for almost 7 years and starting very early in the automotive industry, I think we have a very clear picture on that. What Google and Apple will achieve, as they also did in many other areas, they will push massively adoption of connected services in cars. Because let's face it, what happened over the past 3-4 years in cars with respect to apps, streaming apps, music apps, radio apps, whatsoever, big failure. People don't use it, right? I mean, they maybe use it on their smartphones, but the maximum they do, they connect it through Bluetooth to the audio system, but mainly they don't use it. So that is something that we will see. What this will mean to the OEMs is an additional threat that in a time where the value chain is massively shifting from hardware into software services, they losing control over an area they used to control. Funny enough is that for the past 80 years, OEMs never controlled the radio, but they believe they have now to control the radio. So in our respective field, streaming and audio, they shouldn't care, but they do. And for us, it's good because we can offer them something to defend their position in that audio entertainment system. So I think the race is up to will they manage to keep in control, yes or not?
Car companies really don't like Android Auto and Apple CarPlay if you talk to them privately. They don't like these third-party companies coming over and taking part of the dashboard, which was historically theirs. They are much more looking much more kindly towards the broadcast radio industry now, actually. And I think what we need to do as a radio industry is collaborate with the car companies over brilliant user interfaces, hybrid user interfaces, which use the best things about broadcast radio, FM, DAB, HD, and the best things about connected radio in one interface. And if we can do that, I think we can hold our own in the car.
I have something for you.
Excellent.
So, making business.
Already. I mean, I've had a telecom industry background, and you know what happened with telecom companies with the likes of Facebook and Google coming in and adding the value, making them pipe. There is a risk, and I guess that's partly where cars are worried about. But even with broadcasters, it will be in the future point where Google and Apple are going to be serving those ads, taking the commercial part of it and offering that. That's what they want to do. Traffic information, ad information, and as much of that personalized content. That's what I'm sure that they would like to do.
Yeah, I definitely think, you know, Google Play is about to launch its podcasting service. Audio Boom is working with it outside of the US. And, you know, once they switch on the SEO for that, it's a game changer. Yeah. You know, once you search for something, that will be your first return. But what I will say is, regardless of all of this, it really comes down to the content. And like good content, people search for brands, they search for things they know and things they want. If you keep producing it, people will search for it.
So we're done. Thanks.
Thank you.